meeting John Hartford and also meeting Tom Paxton. And let's see, he wasn't able to meet Arlo Guthrie. He and I matched. We had the same two truths and a tall tale in his case. He did meet John Hartford on his very first date, and he got off to get gas at a stop and go in Crested Butte, Colorado. Looked up, and the guy paying for gas in front of him was Mr. Tom Paxton, and that ended up being his hometown, and the two of them had a nice chat. He does mention that Arlo had a house that he called the Crab Shack near his Palm Bay nephew, Jim, but they never crossed paths. That's an interesting story. 412-200-5975. It's good to have you with us today here at the Saturday Light Brigade. I wanted to play another song from Bill Staines. You may have heard Bill passed away this week, and this is a song that so many people loved hearing Bill
We are
do.
crossing the water our whole life through. We are making a passage that is straight and true. Every heart is a vessel. Every dream is a light shining through the darkness of the blackest night. Oh, we are crossing the water our whole life through. We are making a passage that is straight and true. Every heart is a vessel. Every dream is a light shining through the darkness of the blackest night. For there is no shallow water, not but love to keep us safely from the dangers and the devils of the deep. Yet with every breath within us, we search forevermore to find some peaceful harbor on that far off shore. And we are crossing the water our whole life through. We are making a passage that is straight and true. Every heart is a vessel. Every dream is a light shining through the darkness of the blackest night. For some it is a glory, for some it is a game, for some it is a story filled with emptiness and pain. But as rising winds in chorus, we search for steady ground. There is only that before us, there can be no turning round. And we are crossing the water our whole life through. We are making a passage that is straight and true. Every heart is a vessel. Every dream is a light shining through the darkness of the blackest night. For there is no other journey that will ever be the same. No second chance horizon that will call you by your name. When the welling waves wash o'er you, stormy winds they drive. Give your heart a song, sing it loud and long, keep your dreams alive. And we are crossing the water our whole life through. We are making a passage that is straight and true. Every heart is a vessel. Every dream is a light shining through the darkness of the blackest night. Oh, we are crossing the water our whole life through. We are making a passage that is straight and true. Every heart is a vessel. Every dream is a light shining through the darkness of the blackest night. Oh, every heart is a vessel. Every dream is a light shining through the darkness of the blackest night.
It's the late Bill Staines. Such a great songwriter and singer who passed away after an illness at 74 years of age. Thanks for all the Two Truths and Tall Tale fun. Tall Tales fun. And a quick update, our year-end donor drive underway. And now on December 11th, we are at $19,881. So we're $119 away from flipping the odometer over to $20,000. You can make a donation using PayPal, Amazon, Facebook, or a credit card of your choice securely and easily at slbradio.org/radio. The credit card choice gives you the option, if you wish, to make a monthly donation of $5 a month or $10 a month, whatever amount is appropriate from your judgment. We don't have donor levels here. We just encourage you to make a donation at an amount that makes sense. Some people do $52 for a dollar a week for every week that you hear SLB. That's up to you. This is a perfect time, if you wish, to call. It's a bit of an intermission between hours. You can reach us at 412-200-5975. 412-200-5975 or 1-888-752-7234. We'd love to hear from you. Thank you for your support and for helping SLB Radio continue to serve and amplify voices of youth and other voices who often go unheard, and for providing you with a radio program you enjoy Saturday morning. Broadcasting live from historic Allegheny Square, along with Ricky Berger, this is Larry Berger, and this is the show that gets your weekend off to a good start. Brought to you by you, the Saturday Light Brigade. Saturday mornings at WRCT Pittsburgh, WIUPFM Indiana, WMCO New Concord, WNJR Washington, WCUC Clarion, PCTV, Comcast 21, Verizon 47 Pittsburgh, WMCK.FM McKeesport, RadioPhoenix.org, Loudspeaker.fm, Fort Collins, Colorado, and internet radio stations and streaming services, including TuneIn, Simple Radio, Streama, Radio Garden, and our own slbradio.org/radio.
I got a drum, I got a horn. They gave me a bicycle just for being born. But I'm only getting half of what I oughta, 'cause my birthday comes on Christmas. I got a train that really runs. They gave me a space suit that should be lots of fun. But I'm only getting half of what I oughta, 'cause my birthday comes on Christmas. Gee, but it's tough to be a kid like me, but I guess there is nothing I can do, 'cause all of the stuff beneath the Christmas tree has to count for my birthday too. I get so mad at Mom and Dad of all of the days that they picked to have me had, and they only give me half of what they ought to, 'cause my birthday comes on Christmas. Be a kid like me, but I guess there is nothing I can do, 'cause all of the stuff beneath the Christmas tree has to count for my birthday too. of all of the days that they picked to have me had. And they only gave me half of what they oughta, 'cause my birthday comes on Christmas. Yeah, my birthday comes on Christmas. Why does my birthday have to come on Christmas?
Trout fishing in America. And my birthday comes on Christmas. We're scheduled to speak with two Keystone Oaks students about their participation in a program called Ed Corpse. Ed for education, Corpse for corporation. Indeed, with the hard P there, Ed Corpse. And it's a program of real world scholars. And the idea is students create businesses and operate them to learn about manufacturing as well as aspects of running a business. And as they arrive, we'll get them ready to go. Thank you to Lois for your support. We now are at $19,906 along the way on our year-end donor drive. So the next $95 donation or combination thereof to make that amount or more will take us up over $20,000, which is exciting for this time of year. A lot of donations come in during the last week. If you've already made a contribution, thank you, especially if you've been supporting us year after year after year. If you have not yet, we hope you'll come forward and do so. I mentioned earlier that it's typically a very small percentage of individual listeners who end up making a donation. Sometimes it's because the time was never right. Sometimes it's due to the inability to donate, which we certainly understand. Most often it's due to either a lack of knowledge of knowing that we're supported by individual listeners, or it's due to lack of a convenient time to do it. And that's why we have these year-end drives. It makes it especially convenient for you to make a contribution. You can do so in a self-service way by going to slbradio.org/donate, or you can phone 412-200-5975. It's easy as can be. That's all you need to do. 412-200-5975. 1-888-752-7234 or slbradio.org/donate. Thanks to Aline for your donation in Maine. And in just a moment, we're going to talk with our students from Keystone Oaks.
You're a mean one, Mr. Grinch. You really are a heel. You're as cuddly as a cactus. You're as charming as an eel, Mr. Grinch. You're a nasty socks, your soul is full of gum, Mr. Grinch. The three words that best describe you are as follows, and I quote, stink, stank, stunk. Touch you with a 39 and a half foot.
Urban Monroes at the Saturday Light Brigade. Ricky's been busy on the phones. 412-200-5975-1-888-752-7234. So this morning we have Ethan DiFilippi with us and Tyler Pillar, I hope do I have your names correct?
It's DiFilippi.
DiFilippi, no, it's helpful. Thank you. What about you? Did I get you right, Tyler?
Yeah, Pillar's plural.
Thanks. It's great to have you both here with us. And you're here representing yourselves first and foremost, but also EdCorps and the work you've done there. I'd be curious first, Ethan, tell me a little bit about yourself, your age. I know you're at Keystone Oaks, and just some of the things you like to do.
So I'm a senior at Keystone Oaks, and I'm pretty busy, actually. I mean, I don't have a lot of time for a whole ton of free stuff this year, especially with the Ed Corp. It is kind of like running a full-time business. So I'd say, you know, I do like video games. I guess that's a little bit about myself. But, yeah, I'm just trying to work hard to get into college and then see where it goes from there.
Great. Do you know what you might like to do after graduation?
I'm thinking about probably being a computer software engineer. Sounds pretty fun.
Is that something you've pursued already? I don't know anything about your company. We'll learn more about that. But have you worked with computers a lot?
So last summer, during the whole thick of COVID, I actually helped privately to reverse engineer an app that can help detect COVID symptoms from like a range using your smartphone camera. So like it can get your blood pressure, heart rate, breathing rate. So yeah, I thought that was pretty fun.
That's pretty interesting. Is that related to your EdCorp?
No, that was just, you know, privately.
So you would take those symptoms and use them in individuals' values for those symptoms to try to figure out what the probability of them either having or getting COVID would be? Is that, I don't want to steal any trade secrets, but is that the way?
Well, it was kind of like, you know, during COVID or having a really bad case of COVID, you know, your blood oxygen levels can lower as it affects your lungs negatively. So we really wanted to look for low blood oxygen levels. So it would look at two points on your face and then depending on the different colors, such as your forehead has a lot of blood flowing through it.
Yeah.
But then certain other parts of your body don't have as much. So it would compare the two and see if you were at a normal color range.
Oh, interesting. So it's the difference between the two colors would show what the potential lack of oxygen is. How did that correlate with a regular saturated oxygen levels did you – I mean, that's fascinating. I mean, did you find – because you could get a pulse oximeter, I guess. Did the values make sense relatively?
Yeah, they were actually – they were pretty close, surprisingly. So based on the fact that oxygenated blood is a little bit darker, so – you know, if your skin looked a little darker and fuller, then you had more oxygen, which was a good sign. And it was mainly, it wasn't made to be as accurate as a pulse oximeter, but it was just for like a hospital staff so they can screen people as they come in to kind of see, you know, who might have it, who's okay.
Yeah, that's a really great idea. I know that's not what you came prepared to talk about necessarily, but that's still really cool. Tyler, let's learn more about you. Tell me about yourself.
I'm 18. I'm in the same boat as you.
Hang on. I'm sorry. You can hear that you're not there, and it's because I'm making mistakes. Go ahead.
All right. I'm 18. I'm also in the same boat with Ethan. I'm fairly busy with work, school, and everything else along the lines. He wants to go to college for computer software. I want to go for electrical engineering or computer hardware. So I'm also very interested in computers. So.
You guys are you good friends? I would think you would be because you have interests that dovetail pretty well. What got you interested in electrical engineering and the hardware side of things?
In general, my dad has always worked with sales, and he's worked with companies that deal with electrical motors, sensors, stuff like that. So just along the lines, my dad has brought stuff like that home, showed me, and I brought interest into it.
That's great. Do either of you have schools in mind? That you've applied to or maybe you know where you would like to go?
Yeah, I'm actually going to go to CCAC for 2 years to get my associates and then go to California State of Pennsylvania to get my bachelor's.
Excellent. And
I applied to a few schools, you know, early action. Pitt got back to me first, so I was accepted into them. And I do like Pitt, great school, but I was just looking to see you know, who else got back to me first before I decide.
Yeah, there's a lot to think about at this time. Now, I'm curious, what is COVID? Are you having a normal senior year pretty much? Are you in person for most of the time?
Yeah, we are in person.
That's got to be, I'm sure you're grateful for that. What's it been like over the prior years? Did you have a lot of disruption?
Well, last year we were mostly online. We started off the school year fully online, and then we transitioned to like a hybrid learning structure. It was pretty rough because, you know, a lot of the teachers had to adapt to all of a sudden not seeing the kids and having pretty much no like hands-on activities because it just wasn't, you know, feasible back then for them to ship everything out to our houses.
Yeah.
So I feel like last year, you know, the quality, I guess, dropped a lot, and there's no one to blame for that, you know, unfortunate circumstances that are happening. But this year, it's like a quasi-normal. So,
well, that's good. So, Tyler, tell me a bit about the EdCorp and its name and how it's all come together.
Well, EdCorp, we started as just a small group of students. I don't know how many years it went back. 3 years? 4 years. We went back 4 years. We are a student-run company. We are based at Keystone Oaks High School, but we really don't get any funding from our school. It's just through EdCorp and Harbor Freight Tools for Schools. And we have three lathes at our school currently, and we have one laser cutter. We source all of our products, like our blanks, from Penn State Industries. We get those, we turn down our pens, finish the product, and we go out and sell them.
So you make pens, and they are... fancy pens, I would imagine, made out of wood. Okay, so what's the how can you describe the raw materials come from Penn State? Is there something special about the blanks that they provide in terms of the kind of wood or quality of it?
So we have a few different types of wood, such as like Indian rosewood, wedgewood. Previously we had bamboo, but it's kind of fallen off. But so we get these blanks. The only thing special about them is I guess they're smaller, made for kind of pen making. Because if we started with a giant block of wood, it'd take a while.
Yeah, you'd have a lot of waste too. So how is it? What's the rough size? I guess a little longer than a pen, I would imagine.
So they're about 5 inches long, mm-hmm. and then I think 7/8.
Okay, long. So maybe nominally about an inch square.
Yeah.
And then those go onto a lathe?
Yeah, so first we have to cut them down to size. Each blank or side of the pen, because there's two different pieces of wood on the pen, they're about 2 inches long. So we have to cut them down on a bandsaw, and then we feed a brass tube through them for support, and then that goes on the lathe, and that gets turned down to the pen shape.
Interesting. So the brass tube is needed to give enough rigidity to the wood so it doesn't just break.
Because
you probably put a lot of pressure per square inch, especially if you're me. I always write. I press pretty hard with a pen, and you've got to do something to give it that rigidity. So the pen is, the outer shell is made cylindrical or whatever shape you're looking for. You bore the hole in the middle. How do you get the hole?
We do have a special jig, and this only applies to a few types of materials that we use because most of them do come pre-drilled at the factory, but we do have a jig that we can use with a drill press to center the hole and then bore it through.
Okay, so some of the blanks have that hole in it for your convenience, and then you just have to get the brass piece in somehow.
Yeah.
I guess. It's really interesting. And then what comes next once you have the outer part of the two pieces to the pen, I guess, the top and the bottom, and is it called the barrel or whatever the brass piece is? What do you have to do next to make a saleable item?
See, if our product is finished, turned down to size, polished, sanded, all of that, we have a pen presser. We put multiple pieces in. We have another brass tube that we put in, and that's the turning mechanism. We put in the refillable capsule, we put our pen tip, then our back clip, and the other part that makes it so it's flush.
Wow. That's a lot of work. Now, what do you sell these for?
So each wooden pen is $15, and then wooden pencils are $17, just because the hardware varies in prices. Acrylic pens are $17 because they're a little more expensive to source, and then acrylic pencils are $19.
That's really not a bad price whatsoever. And to come up with that price, how did you figure out what the right price should be?
So I'm actually the president of the club. Like, I help mainly run the business. So I sat down with a bunch of the officers in the club, and we looked at order forms and tried to break down our cost per pencil or pen. And then from that, we decided, a good profit margin, and then pick the price based off that.
And when you talk about your cost, what are the components you had to consider for that?
So
I'm not trying to quiz you. Fascinated by the way you've done this. I mean, you'd have to figure out the cost of labor or how many you can crank out in a given period of time.
Well, perks for us, I guess, that we're a student-run business is we do employ child labor. it's a rough life, No pay for us. But so labor costs aren't factored in. But we do factor in the cost of the wood separately from the cost of the hardware. So, for instance, the gold hardware does cost more than all the other hardwares besides gunmetal, which is also pretty expensive. And then each material cost different amounts. So the woods are all around the same, but some of our acrylics are a little pricier. Same with resin. That can get pretty expensive too.
And did you look at competition at all for what one would pay for comparable instruments?
So at a selling event, Handmade Arcade, which just happened recently.
Yeah,
actually.
That was, we know Handmade Arcade really well. That would have been just last week, I think.
Yeah. So we went there in 2018, pre-COVID, and we saw that there were some other people selling pens. So we just looked at their prices and then went slightly under because we have zero bills.
So. Smart.
Thanks.
Absolutely. A very good way of doing it. Now, you mentioned three lathes, I believe. And did I hear you mention a laser engraver?
Yeah, we have a laser engraver, and it can also cut very small, like thin amount of wood. Recently at Handmade Arcade, we had a special for our reindeer that we cut it out and we could put together with a little ribbon on it. Next, we're coming out with a little light, a plug-in light. Like, we make it at our school, the design, and we cut it out, and we are able to piece it together. So it's just another form of product that we're able to sell.
And the common feature, it sounds like, is the wood and the craftsmanship from the wood. What is the name of the business?
So we're Golden Oaks Designs. That's like our, I mean, we got it come from, you know, Green Tree, mm-hmm. Dormont, Castle Shannon were like the tri-boroughs that form Keystone Oaks.
Right.
So, you know, we're the Golden Eagles, and then we do have the Green Tree, so Golden Oaks.
Yeah, Golden Oaks, that makes a lot of sense. What a great idea. Now, how many people are involved in the company, roughly, besides the two of you?
I think it's around 15 to 20 people.
And do you meet on a regular basis and have work sessions or...
Yeah, every so often, it's usually 1 to 2 times a week, we have a scheduled get-together. We have around 3 people trying to make pens. The other people are trying to figure out other products, figure out our costs, along the lines of that.
Yeah, I was curious about that, about other products. And I'm trying to think of, do students pitch ideas? I would imagine something made out of wood is important. Like if somebody wanted a hinged box, that wouldn't require use of a lathe necessarily. But is there, how do you evaluate whether a new product is something you want to do or not?
So first we have to consider if we can actually make it easily. So if it's a product that would kind of take too long to justify, then we just don't make it. But for most of the products, ultimately the decision does go through the students because that's, you know, really the name of the game for Ed Corp. So we look through catalogs and we look through different, you know, product showcases and try to see what people want to buy. So like we try to imagine, you know, if we were in our house, what would we like? You know, a nice good version of that product. So say like a measuring spoon. You know, do they work as plastic? Yeah, but if you had a nice one with, you know, metal hardware and a wooden handle, would people be willing to buy that? So then we sit down as a group of students and the officers, and then we, you know, just talk about it, see if it's feasible, and then we decide based off that.
That's really smart. This is kind of an odd question. You may need a little bit of time to think about it, but what I'm curious about is how this experience has changed your outlook on, you know, marketing and products you see in stores. Before, I think a lot of the curtains kind of been opened, right, on product manufacturing and marketing and pricing in ways that maybe weren't evident to you before you started doing this with Ed Corp as part of the Real World Scholars program. Did you have any sort of epiphanies or things that just suddenly you realized, oh, this is how it works? I mean, do you look at the world differently as a result of this experience?
I personally look at it a little bit differently now, because now that I'm in this business, I realize that running and own like one of our own companies is actually kind of enjoyable, although it is going to be difficult getting out there, because right now we don't pay bills. We don't pay anything like that. I don't think we're taxed too much either, are we?
We are.
Okay, we are taxed. But in general, I find it very enjoyable. My outlook on it, it's changed. Ever since I looked at, oh, this is a cool-looking pen, for example, from another company. But I didn't realize how long it would take to actually make the pen, source everything, and then get to the final product. So I realize now how much actually time and effort it takes.
So the value added by the labor and thought you're putting into it makes it worth a lot more than the raw material that's there. What about for you, Ethan?
So, you know, working through this business throughout these 4 years has shown me that there is quite a bit of back end to this kind of stuff. So, you know, especially this year, I realized that there's just never enough time in the day. So, you know, I'll have to get home from school, answer actual business emails. Like, I'm currently talking to an executive of a company about ordering pens and some of our products for their clients. And, you know, it's just a lot of work. And I never really realized that running a small business could be this demanding. But it's nice that, you know, we get the opportunity to do this because it showed me that, you know, running a small business can be fun, but I don't have any risk right now.
That's so it gives you a chance really to try this without having – I mean, you always should be prepared to fail in one way or another, but not economic failure.
Yeah.
That's fascinating. How can folks learn about your pens and maybe order them or a pencil? I imagine it's a website to look at.
Yeah, so our website is goldenoaksdesigns.com. So it's fully up and running. We should have all of our products except one of them available. We're still working on getting it fully set up. We're also working on a few shipping issues right now with, you know, with real world scholars, but that should be resolved pretty soon.
So it's goldenoaksdesigns.com.
Yeah.
And these, if you're just joining us, Ethan and Tyler are both seniors at Keystone Oaks. And this is part of the Real World Scholars program of EdCorps. We should acknowledge them. I gather they're able to give you some coaching and support in the work that you've done. Anybody in particular you'd like to acknowledge in terms of adults there or teachers that have been helpful as part of the process?
Yeah, I haven't really spoken to a whole ton of the Real World Scholars staff, but I have spoken to Adam because he did call in specifically to our EdCorp and give us a lot of coaching. So whenever we're having issues, like recently we had a small billing issue, we were able to contact Adam and he was able to help us through it all. So they're really nice because they, Real World Scholars breaks it down as toolkits where they kind of guide you through running this business. And then as you complete each little milestone, they unlock a little bit more funding if you need it.
Excellent. And anybody you would like to acknowledge at all, Tyler?
In general, the teachers at Keystone Oaks, Mr. Sarche and Mr. Wetzel, have both guided us along through our pen making process and our laser cutting process. So I'd like to give thanks to them for helping us through these years.
Well, I want to thank both of you for coming. Anything else either of you wanted to say that I didn't give you space to mention?
No, just thanks for having us.
Yeah, thank you.
It's a pleasure. GoldenOaksDesigns.com. You can learn more. Ethan DeFilippi. DeFilippi?
Yeah.
I'm getting there.
That's all right.
And Tyler Pilar. Yeah, thank you both for being here today with us. It's really a pleasure to talk with you. Broadcasting live from historic Allegheny Square, along with Chad Green and Ricky Berger, this is Larry Berger, and this is the show that gets your weekend off to a good start, the Saturday Light Brigade, Saturday mornings, on a great group of radio stations and slbradio.org/radio.
Say, cracking Big Bob was on a heavy job. He heard a noise that says, come on, boys, go.
Keep moving, keep moving.
A horse was in a race. He could win show or place. He came in first from out of thirst to go.
Keep moving.
It's like you've seen a cop. And you don't exactly want to stop. It's a motion, a lotion that makes you want to go.
Keep moving.
Keep moving.
Keep moving with a motion that'll make you wanna go.
A truck driver once said, I got a sleepy head, that truck driver. He took a pill and had the will to go. Tell them everything?
Everything.
No. I mean, should I tell them everything?
Everything.
Okay. And reasonably brought down, a clown could only frown. But after a while, he started to find some money.
Where's the money?
Where's the money?
Where's the money?
Little Betty Lou had a day, but didn't want to screw. He changed his mind, we slipped a dime.
Where's the money?
A real good friend of mine is busy, busy doing time. He got the rank and then the bank. Where's the money?
Where's the money?
Where's the gal?
Where's the money?
Where's the money if you never ever give me nothing?
Where's the gal?
Where's the money?
Just put it here
and let me hear myself. A box is in a ring. He hears the bell go ding. He wins that fight with all his might. He got some money.
Where's the money? Where's the money?
Where's the money?
Just put it here.
Just put it here. Just put it here. Just put it here. And here, let me hear myself.
Yeah. The Saturday Light Brigade, Dan Hicks. And Where's the Money, especially by request. Our Youth Express Showcase segment continues now, and we are going to go back to December 11th, 2021 for a feature. Wait a minute. We're not going to go back to that date. That's today's date. We're going to go back to January. I caught that right after it came out of my mouth. We're going to go back to January 7th, 2017. And present a feature. We, because of our studio construction taking place right now, it's hard for us to host larger groups. We do have live music in our next hour with Sarah Halter, but this group is from Youth Chamber Connection. The students will introduce themselves, but you'll hear two violins, a viola, and also a cello. All of these students at the time of their performance were at Fox Chapel Area High School. They are known as the Matto Quartet, and here they are now from January 7th, 2017.
Thank you.
There you have the Motto Quartet. Let's meet the students. They all happen to be from Fox Chapel Area High School, which is a little unusual for Youth Chamber Connection quartets. Typically, we have students from different schools, but this is, I believe, the only to date that have all been from the same school. We have three sophomores and one senior in the group. And let's meet everybody. I'll start with you, if you could introduce yourself.
Hi, my name is Giel Moon. I'm 15 and I play the cello.
It's nice to meet you. No, you're not going to get away that easy. he was starting to pass the mic on. How long have you played?
I have played since seventh grade. There's 7 years old.
Yeah. And what attracted you to the cello? Was it immediate, or how did this happen?
Well, I always loved the cello sound, and I thought it was it sounded really nice. So that's when I started playing the cello.
And was it hard to learn?
At first, it was a little bit hard, but then as you keep playing, it's more fun and it's more enjoyable.
What else do you like to do?
I also like to run, yeah.
Well, it's nice to meet you, and thank you for being with us. And now you can pass along the microphone. And I know why you wanted to do that so early, because this is the senior old guy of the group, the ancient man. And I'll let you introduce yourself and we'll chat a little bit.
All right. I'm Francesco. I play the viola, and I'm a senior. I'm about to go to college, so I'm very excited.
And do you know where you'll be going?
Probably Pittsburgh. Pitt University, yeah.
What do you want to study?
I'm undecided now, but I'm more towards the computer science or engineering, like math majors.
Well, terrific. Now, we were talking off air because I asked if motto had meaning, and motto is Italian for crazy.
Yeah, that's right. Motto is crazy in Italian.
And how did that come to apply to this group?
So our teacher, our high school teacher, Mary Cooper, as you mentioned her, she, while we were rehearsing and putting together our quartet 2 years ago, she told us to be more crazy. So while we play, so we decided to make an Italian name for the quartet, and we decided Matto, so we can be more crazy.
That's great. Yeah. How long have you lived? Did you spend some time living in Italy?
Yeah, I moved here only 3 years ago, my freshman year in high school.
And what was that transition like?
It was tough.
I bet.
It was very tough, but, you know, worked through. I'm excited to be here.
Was your English pretty good?
No.
Okay, no.
It helped with the English and everything, yeah.
How did you figure that out?
I studied English in Italy, and being here at school, talking and listening to English every day, it's really like the best way to learn it. So,
I can imagine. There must be things you miss Italy. Does anything especially come to mind?
Yeah, all my friends, all my relatives, and definitely like the town, you know. And but you know, our grandparents are visiting us right now, so I'm excited for them to be here. And it reminds me a lot of Italy when they're here.
Oh, that's great.
Good food.
What town do you live in?
Mantova. It's in the north of Italy near Milan.
And do you want to pass along a greeting to your grandparents, maybe in Italian, since they're listening?
Yes. Ciao, nonna. Ciao, Roberto. ciao, mamma. E tutti I parenti d'Italia. So I basically said hello to my grandparents and my relatives in Italy, and my mom right here.
How nice. Well, I hope you do have relatives in Italy listening now, too. It's still early in the afternoon. You've played viola how long?
I started with violin, actually, and then I switched to viola. Around 5 years or 4 years, I can't really remember when I switched to viola. So.
And do you have any other passions?
Yeah, I play guitar, actually. We have a little band with me and my brother and some friends. And also I swim. And
well, terrific. We should have your band come down too. Seriously, we'd love to
all
do
right.
that.
I would love to do that too.
Now we'll meet the two violinists, and the first is Zia. Hello. I'll let you introduce yourself completely.
I'm Zia. I play the violin, and I'm a sophomore.
And how long have you played?
I've been playing violin since third grade.
And was it, well, why did you choose it? Did you?
I started playing piano first, actually, whenever I was six. And then I wanted to be like a part of the school orchestra. So I started learning violin. And then ever since, I've just kept liking it more and more.
That's terrific. And do you have other interests?
I like to run. And then I'm also on a robotics team.
Excellent. What was your last robotics project?
Well, our team actually competes in a system called FRC, it stands for First Robotics Competition.
Sure.
So we last competed at St. Louis in April.
Yeah, I'm trying to remember what that challenge was. I should.
It was called First Stronghold.
And what did you have to do?
So you had to build a robot to cross certain defenses and be able to shoot boulders into like a low goal and a high goal,
yeah,
and like scale a tower.
I remember that. And this is neat. It's an open-ended problem that teams from all over the country will work to solve. Well, it's nice to meet you, and we'll meet our other violinist. And then I'll let you introduce yourself first.
I'm Chloe, and I play the violin. I'm a sophomore, and I'm 16. Years old.
And when did you start playing?
I started playing when I was five, so 11 years ago. And my friend actually started playing the violin before me. And one day I was over at her house and she like took out her violin and started playing. And then like that night I went home and I was like, I want to start playing the violin. So we found a teacher and yeah, here I am today.
Does your friend still play?
I don't think so, actually. But actually, her teacher originally was Miss Cooper, who's our high school orchestra director. And I didn't even know that at the time, but it's kind of funny.
That is something.
Yeah.
What else do you like to do?
Well, I play volleyball for the school and on a club team. And I like to play other instruments. Like I sort of play the viola and the guitar and piano, ukulele, you know. I like music a lot.
Oh, that's great. You guys are all really well-rounded, and it's good to have you here. Can you tell me the piece? We're actually in the midst of two movements. I'll let you mention what you're playing.
So this is Beethoven's String Quartet number 1, and we just played the first movement. And then after this, we're going to play the second movement.
And thank you for being here. And you're listening to the Saturday Light Brigade. Thanks for doing it. Here they are, the Motto Quartet.
Thank you.
Orchestra Motto Quartet as they appeared in our studios back in January of 2017. And there's a little bit more of them that you can hear at neighborhoodvoices.org. Sarah Halter is in the wings and will be joining us in a moment, broadcasting live from historic Allegheny Square, along with Ricky Berger. This is Larry Berger, and this is the show that gets your weekend off to a good start, the Saturday Light Brigade. Saturday mornings at WRCT Pittsburgh, WIUP FM Indiana, WMCO New Concord, WNJR Washington, WCUC Clarion, PCTV, Comcast 21, Verizon 47, Pittsburgh, WMCK.FM McKeesport, RadioPhoenix.org, Loudspeaker.FM Fort Collins, Colorado, and internet radio stations and streaming services, including Radio Garden, TuneIn, Simple Radio, Streama, and slbradio.org/radio.
I ought to know more than I know. I ought to know where this road goes. I ought to know great literature by heart, the history of art. This I ought to know.
I ought to know more than 1492. I ought to know what the Buffalo Bills do. I ought to know more than the quarterback's wounded knee. What happened in Sand Creek? This I ought to know, but I don't.
I ought to know about the sacrifices made. I ought to know ration stamps, air raids. I ought to know more than George C. Scott and John Wayne gets shot. This I ought to know. I ought to know what the drinking gourd means. I ought to know more than I have a dream. I ought to know about the back of